Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 20th Chapter, Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena, text 3. Shudhiya, by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, O King, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activity for others is considered best amongst human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul. Please repeat after me. O King, purported by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, in daily life we find that when a madman commits murder, he is excused, even by a high court judge. The idea is that a living entity is always pure because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he falls into the clutches of material energy, he becomes a victim of the three modes of material nature. Indeed, whatever he does under the influence of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.14, na kartrittam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phalo sanyogam sabhavastu pravartate. The embodied spirit, master of the city of this body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Actually, the living entity or soul does not do anything. Everything is done under the influence of the modes of material nature. When a man is diseased, the symptoms of the disease become a source of all kinds of pain. Those who are advanced in transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness are never envious. Neither of the soul nor the activities of the soul under the influence of material nature. Those who are advanced in transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness are never envious, neither of the soul nor of the activities of the soul under the influence of material nature. Advanced transcendentalists are called sudhiya. Sudhi means intelligence. Sudhi means highly advanced, and sudhi means devotee. One who is both devoted and highly advanced in intelligence does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. It is said that forgiveness is the quality of those who are advancing in spiritual knowledge. So, here, Narayan, or Vishnu, is instructing King Prithu. King Prithu became very angry at Indra because Indra stole his sacrificial horse, and he tried to stop the sacrifice, tried to cause some impediments to his horse sacrifices. Like, Indra is actually, although he is the king of the demigods, but he is actually very much in anxiety about losing his elevated position. Like, although he is a very, very elevated person, but you can see that his consciousness actually is not very advanced. He is still very attached to his material position. Like, the heavenly planets are also in the material nature. Although in the heavenly planets, the enjoyments are much higher, but still they are in the material nature. In the material nature, some places have higher enjoyments, and some places have more intense suffering. So the degree of enjoyment and suffering differs in the material nature at different places. But After all, material nature is a place of misery. So one may be in the heavenly planets, or one may be in the lower planets, like Patal and hellish planets. Wherever one is bound to suffer, as long as he is attached to his material enjoyment. So we can see that Indra, although he is the king of the demigods, a very, very coveted position. It's a very elevated position. And that place, demigods in heavens have all the enjoyments at their command. Whatever they desire, they can immediately get that. And material enjoyment means intoxication, women, and material luxury. So these all they have in abundance. They have beautiful palaces, they are decorated with all kinds of jewels and ornaments. Their form is very beautiful and they are very powerful. They are very youthful people, full of vitality. And they drink a heavenly intoxication. I don't know whether you can call it intoxication, because intoxication is poison. The word intoxication comes from the word toxin, which means poison. So intaking of poison is called intoxication. But in the heavenly planets, they don't get intoxicated with poison, but they have a nectarian intoxication. Like when they drink that, this soma ras, they become very full of vitality. And then the heavenly planets has beautiful ladies and beautiful musicians, the dancers, the Gandharvas are the musicians, Kinnaras are the dancers, Apsaras are the society girls. So, there the place is full of beautiful palaces and beautiful flower gardens. Indra's personal garden is known as Nandankanan. And there a flower called Parijat grows. That's a celestial flower. Very, very fragrant and very beautiful. We cannot even imagine how beautiful that flower is. Actually, Sattabhama. Sattabhama wanted to have Parijat and Krishna had to get it. So, we can well imagine how beautiful that flower must have been. So, heavenly planets, there's all kinds of enjoyments. Any kind of enjoyment that you can conceive of, that you can think of, are all there in the heaven. Now, those who are very attached to their material enjoyments, they become very attached to their position and the elevated position or comfortable situation. So Indra gets into great anxiety whenever there is a threat that somebody may take over his position. And actually, it happens. Sometimes the demons take over Indra's position. They drive out Indra, and they drive out all the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, the demigods. Like King Bali drove Indra out. There are many, many instances when the demons drive out the demigods out of heaven. So the head of the demigods, Indra, the king of the demigods, Indra, becomes always very worried whenever he sees that some people is becoming powerful. So when he saw King Prithu performed 99 horse sacrifices and he was about to perform the 100th one, and actually when one performs 100 horse sacrifices, he becomes eligible to take over Indra's position. Like just by performing 100 horse sacrifices, one can become Indra. Indra is actually a position, and living entities are awarded that position when he becomes qualified. It's like the position of a temple president. Like temple president is not the person,
It's a position, but a person takes over that position. So the president of the demigods, or the king of the demigods, is the position of Indra. And so Indra gets into great anxiety when he sees that somebody is trying to become very powerful. And King Prithu, who is actually a Shaktavesh incarnation of the Lord, who is actually much more powerful than Indra, Indra tried to stop his horse sacrifice, causing impediments. And King Prithu became very angry. When he became so angry, he was such a powerful person that he could have caused a great havoc, great damage to the earth as well as to the heavenly planets. So at that time Krishna came and started to pacify him. And here Vishnu is telling King Prithu that, O king, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered best amongst human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul. So Krishna advised King Prithu like this. He said, those who are really intelligent, they do not really care for their personal welfare. They are simply concerned about others' welfare. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, janma sarthak kori karo paro upokar. Paro upokar means doing welfare to others. Par means others, and upokar means welfare. So those who are really advanced, those who are really intelligent, they should not waste their time and energy for the sake of their own material enjoyment. They should try to benefit others. And in order to benefit others, one must not become malicious. One must not become hateful towards others. Because actual welfare is founded on love. If somebody really cares for someone, then only he can benefit him. As I mentioned yesterday, that out of hatred, we develop a tendency to exploit. Whereas out of love, we try to do good to others. We try to benefit others. And that's why, according to the higher understanding, in the material platform, everyone is actually hating everybody else. In the material platform, everyone is full of hatred. Even when they talk about love, they actually talk about exploitation. They simply say that, I will exploit your body. And the other person says, oh, now I got a chance to exploit your body. So everyone, although they say that we love you, but actually, at the heart of their hearts, they're saying that we want to exploit you. That means, I hate you. In their lips, they're talking about love, but in their heart, in their hearts, they actually plan about hatred. So that's why in the material platform, no relationship can be of any substance or any meaning. In order to do benefit to others, one must love others. And in order to love others, one must understand what actual love is. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has been pointed out that love is for Krishna. Love means the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. And in the material platform, what goes on in the name of love is actually lust. And lust means the desire to enjoy one's own senses. Now, senses need objects to become satisfied. The senses by itself is never satisfied. The business of our senses is to drag our mind towards the objects of the senses. And by getting the objects of the senses, the conditioned living entities think that they are enjoying or they are getting the taste of happiness or joy. So actually it is not love. It is called lust. Lust means desire for exploitation, kama. So in the material platform, what goes on in the name of love is actually lust. But real love is the love for Krishna. Real love is the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. Real love is the desire to give pleasure to Krishna's senses. And that is devotion. That is devotional service. So unless and until one has been situated on the platform of devotional service, he cannot love. So this way we can understand that only the devotees are capable of loving, nobody else. Others are knowingly or unknowingly trying to exploit each other. So Vishnu is instructing Prithu Maharaj here that you are an intelligent person, so you should not become malicious to others. On the other hand, with your intelligence, you must consider that these people are actually in a state of insanity. They have become kind of mad. And in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining that one cannot actually get angry at a madman. If a madman comes and calls you names, do you get angry with him? No. You can't. You should not. And Prabhupada is giving the example like if a madman even commits a murder, even then he becomes excused, pardoned by the judge. Because a madman doesn't know what he is doing. And in the material platform, everyone is actually mad. So indirectly, Vishnu pointed out that even Indra is a madman. Like Prithu Maharaj should realize that Indra is actually a madman, mad person. Why? Because he wants to enjoy the material nature. But can anybody enjoy the material nature? Never. Can anybody satisfy his hunger by looking at the mirror? The reflection of the food in the mirror or in a painting of a nice plate of prasadam. Like if you're very hungry and if somebody gives you a painting, can that satisfy your hunger? You may think, oh, how beautiful it is. And now all this food are actually mine for enjoyment. But it never satisfies his hunger. So same way, this material nature is a perverted reflection. And by our endeavors to exploit this material nature, by our endeavor to accumulate this material objects, we can never become satisfied. And those who try to do that, you can be rest assured that he is a madman. Like if you see a person or who is hungry, he is sitting with a painting of a nice plate of prasadam and he is trying to eat out of the painting, struggling to fill his stomach, sitting in front of the painting. What do you think of him? You can immediately conclude that that's a madman, right? Because no sane man will ever try to fill his stomach or satisfy his hunger by looking at a painting or by looking at a reflection of a mirror, in a mirror. So one may be Indra or one may be a beggar in the street, No matter how powerful or how weak one is, as long as one is attached to material enjoyment, he is a madman. And those who are in an elevated position, they should never become angry with them. They should never become hateful towards them, malicious towards them. And that's why devotees have to be full of compassion. Prabhupada displayed great compassion. Often we wonder, while managing the affairs of ISKCON, we often consider that how compassionate Prabhupada used to be. Devotees would cause great offense to Prabhupada, to the society, to the other devotees, but Prabhupada would forgive them. And from that we can understand the elevated position of Srila Prabhupada. We can also consider Nityananda Prabhu. Madhai hit him on the head. Jagai and Madhai, two drunkards, they were actually the incarnations of Ravan and Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra, and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, a great demon. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they are born as Jagai and Madhai. And when Nityananda Prabhu preached to them, they were, "Please, my dear brothers, chant the holy name of Krishna." Now, Nityananda Prabhu thought that they are the most sinful people. Now, if I can convert them, then the whole world will see the potency of the holy name. As Prabhupada used to say, the Shuddha rhinoceros, when you go to hunt, don't go for rabbits or things. Like if you're a big hunter, then go to hunt for the rhinoceros. Prabhupada used to say that if you can't get the rhinoceros, at least you'll get a deer. So Nityananda Prabhu wanted to get the biggest game, Jagai and Madhai. And because they were so sinful, there was no crime that they didn't commit. And first day when Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur went to Jagai and Madhai and requested them to chant, then Jagai and Madhai got very angry and they chased them. And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, although Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram himself and Haridas Thakur is Brahma, but they were playing pastimes. So they played a game with them and they ran away from them. So when Jagai and Madhai chased them, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they ran. And Jagai and Madhai ran after them, trying to catch them. And then Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur hid behind some big clay pots. And Jagai and Madhai could not find them. So then they became frustrated and went back. So the next day Nityananda Prabhu thought that let us go and preach to them again. So he went with Haridas Thakur. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur used to go out to preach. They used to go from door to door and request people to chant the holy name of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Jagai and Madhai were completely drunk at that time. And they had a pot full of, empty pot of wine. So Madhai with that pot hit Nityananda Prabhu on the head and he started to bleed. And immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there and he invoked his Sudarshan Chakra. He wanted to destroy these two demons immediately. But then they fell down at his lotus feet and Nityananda Prabhu tried to stop Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "My Lord, in this incarnation, you have taken a vow not to use any weapon. Your weapon in this incarnation is love." So Nitya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refrained from killing them, being begged by Nityananda Prabhu. And Haridas and Jagayan Madhai fell down at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them to beg forgiveness from Nityananda Prabhu, and if he forgave, then he would forgive them. And so Nityananda Prabhu immediately forgave them. And so this is the quality of a devotee. It's very, very forgiving. Forget and forgive. Jesus also displayed the same kind of compassion. Of course, qualitatively you can see that this kind of compassion was much more profound than the compassion of Jesus. But still, Jesus also instructed that if someone slaps you on your left cheek, then you offer him the other cheek. So this is how one should be forgiven. Also, there is another incident when somebody asked Jesus, how many times should one forgive his enemy? And Jesus' answer was, unlimited times. Always forgive. There's no question of once, twice or thrice. Forgive him all the time. And it needs a lot of strength. To be so forgiving, one needs a lot of strength. And what is that strength? That strength is detachment. If we are attached to our material enjoyment, then only we become angry. When we become frustrated in our enjoyment, then anger develops. That dhayate vishayan pungsha sangaste supajayate sangat sangjayate kamo. Kam means lust. Kamat krodho vijayate. From lust, anger develops. By means of our, due to our lust, we want to enjoy, and when we become frustrated in our endeavor to enjoy, then we become angry. So actually anger is a symptom of attachment. But a person who is detached, who does not have any desire to enjoy this material nature, he can be very forgiving. We can consider this point, like, if somebody takes something away from you that doesn't have any value to you, you do not become angry, right? Like if somebody comes and tells you that, can I take some mud? You say, okay, take as much as you want. But if somebody comes and tells you, can I take your money? Then he'll immediately say, why should I give you my money? Then you are not generous. Why? Because you are attached to your money. But things that you are not attached to, you do not care whether one comes and takes it or leaves it. So an advanced devotee, who is a really intelligent person, he sees the whole material nature as a piece of dirt. And he doesn't have any attachment to that. And if somebody says, well, I want so much dirt, he says, well, he actually tries to give him an advice. He says, why wasting your time by accumulating this dirt? Better get rid of it. But if the person is insistent, then finally he says, okay, then take it. If you are so much attached to this dirt, then take it. Like Sanatana Goswami, when the Brahmin approached Sanatana Goswami, complaining to him that how unkind the Lord is because the Lord didn't give him money, and Sanatana Goswami first tried to give him advice. He said, look, actually it is a benediction from the Lord to be born poor, to be poor. If you're poor, actually it is a blessing in disguise. Because when you do not have anything, when you're poverty stricken, then you become detached. And this detachment is a great opulence. But that man would not listen. He kept on insisting, no, I have my family, I have to maintain my family, I have my daughters to marry, I have my sons to give education, I have my wife who always wants nice ornaments and saris. So the man was complaining. So finally, Sanatana Goswami told him, okay, go to the garbage pile at the back of my heart. And there you'll find, there's a touchstone. So you take it. Now a touchstone is the most precious object on this earth planet. Like the most precious metal is gold. And touchstone turns any metal into gold. So you can well imagine how valuable a touchstone is. And Sanatana Goswami just gave it to him like that. Okay, you take it. So that means Sanatana Goswami had the touchstone and he kept it in the garbage pile. Because to him, a touchstone was a garbage. So that is the sign of advancement. How much we are considering that the objects of this material nature are actually garbage. But we have another duty, another business, that is we convert the garbage into spiritual objects by offering them to Krishna. In the material nature, everything is garbage. But when you offer it to Krishna, then it becomes Krishna Prasad. Then it becomes transcendental. Then it becomes spiritual. But for ourselves, we should not desire anything. More advanced we are, more detached we should become. And then only we will be able to display the compassion. In Krishna consciousness, we pray when offering obeisances to the other Vaishnavas. We say, Bancha Kalpa Torubhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha. Actually, that is the symptom of a Vaishnava. He is like a desire tree that fulfills all desires. Anybody can approach a Vaishnava and desire whatever he wants, and Vaishnava would fulfill his desires. And he does it by giving him the most precious object. Like if your higher needs have been fulfilled, then automatically your lower needs become fulfilled. Like Prabhupada used to give the example, if you have 100 francs in your pocket, that means you already have 10 francs, 20 francs and so on and so forth. All your needs for 10 francs and 20 francs have been taken care of with just one 100 franc. But you don't actually have, say, 1,000 franc bill. If you have 1,000 francs in your pocket, that means, 10 francs, 20 francs needs have been taken care of already. So when we approach a Vaishnava, then Vaishnava gives us Krishna consciousness. And because Krishna consciousness is the highest object, then all our other needs are immediately taken care of. That's why when one comes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes fully satisfied. Whatever desires he may have becomes immediately satisfied by Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it is a spiritual need that has become fulfilled. When our spiritual needs become fulfilled, then our material needs automatically become fulfilled. Of course, due to our insanity, due to our madness, we still maintain some material attachments for the time being. But if we stick to the process, then that insanity will be cured. We'll become cured of our insanity and we'll become situated in proper Krishna consciousness, proper understanding of our ultimate goal. And Prabhupada is pointing out further in the shloka that a devotee, because of his elevated intelligence, he sees the difference between the spirit and the body, and he sees that whatever is happening in the material platform is due to his physical identity or his physical attachments. Like prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. In this material nature, everything is happening according to the guna and karma. according to the modes of the material nature, or interaction between the modes of the material nature and our activities. Our activities are producing the reactions, and we become liable to suffer or enjoy those reactions. So a person who is situated in proper understanding, he will see that how everyone is acting according to his guna and karma reactions. And he would not blame the spirit soul for that. So he knows that the spirit soul is beyond any material contamination. And that's why he tries to get the spirit soul. And he does not consider what he has been doing. Like, this was very obvious with Prabhupada. Prabhupada did not consider what one did in the past. But as soon as they came to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada immediately accepted them. I remember once, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, asked Prabhupada, he was lamenting, Prabhupada, we are so sinful. We are so sinful in the past. And Prabhupada said, that was all superficial. Because as soon as I called you, you just came in. So that's how a Vaishnava looks at the individuals. He does not consider his background, he does not consider his past, how sinful he was. But as soon as he becomes a devotee, as soon as he surrenders to Krishna, then he knows that he becomes free from all his sinful reactions. So in the past we may have been sinful, but still Prabhupada had accepted us in spite of our sinful, in spite of our heaps of sinful activities. Because Prabhupada did not see us as the bodies, Prabhupada saw us as the spirit souls. And Prabhupada salvaged our spirits by giving us Krishna consciousness. So now, in turn, we have to display the same kind of compassion towards other living entities. Like, does not matter from whatever one may have been in the past. Mahaprabhu delivered Jagai and Madhais. Prabhupada delivered living entities, those who are very, very sinful. And we also have to display the same kind of generosity or broad-mindedness and deliver the conditioned living entities all over the world. In the course of our preaching, sometimes we'll be insulted, sometimes we'll be tortured. Many devotees are being tortured in Russia. In other places also they are being tortured. They're being persecuted. But if we are situated on real spiritual platform, if we are situated on Krishna consciousness, then we should not become disheartened by these difficulties. On the other hand, those who try to cause harm to us, we should be even compassionate towards them. And then only we'll be able to become the true followers of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, I mentioned that before, like, yes, devotees use things, those material objects in Krishna's service. And so he does develop some kind of attachment. The way the servant becomes attached to the master's possessions, the master's property. So we should develop that kind of attachment with the understanding that they are actually Krishna's property, and here Krishna is my master, so I must protect Krishna's property. But we should be careful that we do not become attached because of our sense enjoyment. There is a very thin line between materialistic activities and devotional service. Apparently it is the same. From outside it appears to be the same. But you can detect it from the depth of it. Like when the service is done, or when something is done for the sake of Krishna, then it is devotional service. But when it is done for our sense enjoyment, then it is material. Otherwise it is the same. Apparently it is the same. Arjuna was fighting a battle and Duryodhana was fighting a battle. Right? Both of them were actually in the battlefield. Both of them were fighting very valiantly. Now what is the difference between Arjuna and Duryodhana? Duryodhana was trying to keep his kingdom for the sake of his own enjoyment. Whereas Arjuna was fighting the battle because Krishna wanted him to fight. Arjuna himself didn't want to fight. So both of them are fighting the battle, but they are for two different purposes. So that's why there is a very thin line between devotional service and sense enjoyment. Now we have to be careful and detect in the depth of our hearts, what is actually our intention? Is it sense enjoyment or devotional service? Am I doing it for my enjoyment or for my love for Krishna? Or our love for Prabhupada? Yeah.
Like
Krishna, That's all right. Because spiritual bliss means Krishna conscious. Right? Actually, spiritual bliss does not come from exploitation. You do not get spiritual bliss by exploiting Krishna or his devotees. You get the spiritual bliss by rendering service to Krishna and his devotees. Right? So when you are rendering service, that means you do not really want to exploit, or you do not want to do things for your enjoyment. That is another enjoyment. That is a different kind of enjoyment. That is not sensual enjoyment. That is a spiritual enjoyment. And that is the real enjoyment, and we are actually trying to get that enjoyment. We want enjoyment. Everybody wants enjoyment. Right? If there was no enjoyment in Krishna consciousness, then we wouldn't have been here. Right? Why would we like to become a devotee? Because we want to become joyful. Like Prabhupada would give the example, like when Prabhupada was preaching to the acid heads and junkies in New York, Prabhupada's slogan was, stay high forever. They want to stay high, they want to go high by intoxication. But that high is temporary. You get high for the time being and then you come down. And coming down is very painful. Right? So Prabhupada said that stay high forever. You get the enjoyment that will never bring you down. It'll simply go higher and higher and higher. Yes. Not even with comparison with was made with Nityananda. Prabhupada made the comparison with Vasu Ghosh, Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta wanted to deliver the whole world at the expense of his going to hell forever. That's how he prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That you deliver the whole world. and let me take all their sins. Now, the dimension of this compassion was greater than Jesus's. That's how Prabhupada explained it. Like, well, on the other hand, we can say that Jesus did not display that broad concept of compassion. Now, he displayed, you know, very profound compassion, but it was for a community of people, whereas Vasudev Datta displays his compassion for the entire universe. And Nityananda Prabhu, he is Balaram himself, he is the source of all the living entities. Like, his compassion is that in a moment, he can deliver all the living entities. Because he is the source of all the spirit souls. Source of all the living entities. Is that clear? Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the Vaishnavas never commit offense. Right? Because Vaishnavas are so favorably disposed to each other that there is no room for offense. It's only when we fall down from the Vaishnava platform or when we do not behave like a Vaishnava, we commit offense. So actually, to commit offense, we have to come down from the Vaishnava platform. Being situated on the Vaishnava platform, we cannot commit offense. There is no instance when one Vaishnava committed offense to another. There may be some heavy pastimes, like Nityananda Prabhu kicked Shivananda Sen because he didn't make arrangement for his food and shelter. They were traveling from Bengal to Puri, and Shivananda Sen used to arrange for their food and accommodation. And Shivananda Sen got late one day because he was negotiating with the tax collectors on the border. And Nityananda Prabhu got very upset that there was no... He was hungry and there was no food. So at first he cursed Shivananda Sen that all his sons will die. And then when Shivananda Sen came, he, in his anger, he just kicked him on the chest. But what did Shivananda Sen do? Shivananda Sen immediately accepted it as Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So this is how sweet the Vaishnava world is. Like, even if somebody kicks you on the chest, you embrace him and say, "Oh my Lord, I'm so fortunate that I received your mercy." Sharvadamana or Dhamma? No, we should not imitate their acting. Well, sometimes senior devotees will give you some advice. Senior devotees will give the junior devotees some advice. But junior devotees should take it with the right spirit. Isn't that? But if we do not, then there will be trouble. Actually, biggest threat to Krishna consciousness is the transgression of Vaishnava etiquette. You see, there is always a very strict code of conduct in the Vaishnava world. And that has to be followed. Like we can say, when we see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, we can see it is the senior devotees who are chastising the junior devotees. Like Nityananda Prabhu kicked Sivananda Sen, but Sivananda Sen never kicked Nityananda Prabhu. Right? There's never any transgression. That is done out of love, and actually in relationship he is superior. Like the same way Ramchandra Puri chastised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted it. Right? It was because he is a superior. But junior ones never transgressed Vaishnava etiquette. That's why it is said, Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Bigyena Bujhai. Even a learned man cannot understand the activities of a Vaishnava. It's so transcendental. Hare Krishna. Oh yeah, you want to ask a question?
You said
what? Last sentence I couldn't understand. Describing what? Love actually has been defined as our heart's spontaneous craving to become united with Krishna. Our heart actually wants to be united with Krishna. We have a craving, a very earnest desire. That is called love. But when we forget Krishna, then we have that desire of the heart to be united with Krishna, but we do not know Krishna. So what happens, we try to project that tendency onto different other objects. Right? And that's why our heart is not satisfied, because our heart doesn't want those objects. Our heart wants Krishna. So till the time the heart gets Krishna, we are never satisfied. And when you develop that love for Krishna, then it automatically becomes, all the loving symptoms becomes automatically manifest. Like when you love somebody, what do? You like to praise him, right? The mother loves the child. Mother loves her child. And mother is constantly singing the child's glory. Oh, you know what he did today? So she'll go to the neighbors and describe all that her little child was doing the whole day. Right? So this is glorification. The same way when you love Krishna, we want to talk about Krishna all the time. We want to go to everybody and tell, you know what Krishna did today? That's love. When you love, then you want to give whatever you have to the object of your love.